Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we always love the Friday edition. We always love to bring good news. I think Jim's a little more optimistic about this news than I am, but he sees good news and bad news in here. But for the most part, things are trending a little bit better in a couple of ways. In the latest polls, we know that for the most part, the president leads both in nationwide surveys and in most of the battleground states. And this new Washington Post poll still showing the president ahead, but it shows him only ahead 2 points, 49-47 in Nevada, where the margin had been bigger before. It also shows that Republican Senator Dean Heller, who's never actually run statewide, he was appointed to fill the unexpired term of Senator John Ensign when he was forced to resign. So he's on the ballot statewide for the first time against a longtime Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. He's now ahead by 6 points, 49-43. That looks pretty good. The other things that aren't so great, as I see it, North Carolina, Obama's up again, 48-46. And in New Hampshire, he's up 51-44, which certainly I would suggest takes it out of the toss-up column unless the sampling's really skewed here, Jim. So while things are definitely within the margin of error, it looks like, in at least two out of these three states, Romney's doing probably better than expected in Nevada, but it's not looking that great in North Carolina when we thought just a few weeks ago that he was really surging there.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things go through here. One is that Nevada is one of these mysterious states that the unemployment rate is unbelievably high. The housing market has gotten hammered in a way that very few states have had quite so bad. And yet, you know, Obama's been doing, you know, more or less okay there. They don't blame him for the problems out there. So it's one of those things where you'd like to think this would be a state where Romney could get some traction. For much of the year, that has not been the case. The idea of Romney being within two is pretty encouraging to me. Think back to 2004. Bush did better in almost all of his states than he did in 2000, and Nevada was one of those exceptions. That actually, I think he won by only by like 3 percentage points. So this is a state that had been drifting away from the Republicans perhaps much longer than we expected. McCain did not really come close in Nevada in 2008, and this was a state that a lot of people thought he had a good shot at. And this is a state that, you know, despite Obama's approval rating and job approval favorables, everything being fairly low in Nevada, he has consistently been beating the Republicans. I don't know if it's a matter of people just identifying more with the Democrats out there or some sort of Democrat drift or how you want to describe it. Anyway, bottom line being, if Romney is within two in Nevada, I feel pretty darn good about him. I didn't want to get into the possibility of mentioning that it's a heavily Mormon state and quite a few of them are very excited to have a Mormon presidential candidate. Now, of course, you know, after 2010, we've learned to not get our hopes up about Nevada. It is a particular spot in our hearts for ire here at Three Martini Lunch because of Harry Reid's reelection. But it's one of those things where you look at the Senate race looking well and Romney looking well, and it looks like maybe there's some life in the Nevada Republican Party out there. In a week that's had very little good polling news for Republicans, this really stands out as something going right. Maybe it's an outlier, but I think that, you know, it shows that the Democratic brand may not be as indestructible in the silver state as they'd like to think it is.
That's true. And if the Senate race and the presidential race in Nevada can go the way of the GOP, it'll be a pretty nice recovery following the Nevada caucuses when they became the second out of two caucus states that couldn't count their votes correctly. So, you know.
Truck me up as one of those guys who thinks that if Heller wins, it's really hard to see an enormous split between the Senate race and the presidential race. Kind of, you know, they're probably only going to be within a few percentage points of each other. So if Heller is you know, winning a solid win there, that can only be good news for Romney.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. And hopefully by the time those polls close, that will matter if, in fact, those numbers continue to hold up and even trend a little more for Mitt Romney, certainly. On to martini number two now, Jim, and you talked about this at length in the Morning Jolt. Pure and sheer coincidence that the man responsible, allegedly, for the video on YouTube that supposedly launched all these murderous and violent protests in the Islamic world, arrested by federal authorities on violation of probation. Turns out he wasn't supposed to use computers or the internet from his previous conviction. Interesting, though, that this came out 6 months ago, which the Libyan president pointed out earlier this week, and apparently nobody in our government has bothered to mention.
Take a guess on where the article about his arrest and detaining ran in this morning's Washington Post.
Above the fold?
No, bottom of page A16. Now, I realize the story broke last night, but you know what? You can put late-breaking news on the front page.
Sure.
And here's the other thing. I guess the entire argument is we're all supposed to avert our eyes and pretend that it's totally coincidental that he gets, you know, investigated for violating his parole and all that stuff. It's totally coincidental. It's nothing to do with the YouTube video, nothing to do with the giant embarrassment for the administration, nothing to do with all this stuff. Nothing to make it look like to the Muslim world that our government is cracking down on someone who they are demanding be punished for this video. It's totally coincidental. I guess we're all just supposed to pretend that. And it's kind of fascinating is this is not a big deal to reporters. We've seen people all week long arguing that government should somehow change the First Amendment or edit it or tweak it or just, you know, you should not be allowed to that somehow criticizing Islam alone amongst all religions is some sort of de facto incitement that you can make. You know, you piss Christ is now showing in a art gallery in New York City. You don't see, you know, Christians rioting over that. But because, you know, Muslims riot whenever they perceive, you know, this YouTube video or a Muhammad cartoon or a rumor that they're flushing Korans at Bagram Air Base, it's always something with them, and that we have to change ourselves and our laws and the way we operate in order to placate them. This is a horrific turn of events. It is astounding. It is outrageous. And the fact that the media is just kind of collectively shrugging its shoulders at this is appalling. This is one of the worst bad martinis we've had in quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely, and it makes it even more chilling given what Obama had to say at the UN this week about how the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam when it's considered slant.
He meant it, apparently. He's, you know, look, some people just talk the talk on pledging that Muhammad mockers will not be around in the future, but Obama walks the walk, not just talk. He's about action, about punishing those Muslim mockers.
Fabulous. Just fabulous. Well, as we've mentioned, the national polls are favoring the president a little bit right now. Some of the swing state polls are as well. And so you may be wondering if you're a dyed-in-the-wool conservative like Jim and I, who are these people who are still supporting President Obama? What arguments are they articulating in order to convince others that it's worth reelecting this president? Well, we have found two excerpts recently. Excerpt number one comes from a female protester in Cleveland. She was protesting a Romney rally. I'm not sure who was doing the videoing here, but she is very excited about the new phone she got as a result of the Obama administration. And as you listen to this, think of the new Romney slogan of not more dependency, but recovery.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know. He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
More.
How do you give you a phone?
You sign up. If you're on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey!
And this other protester, Jim, was a little more even-keeled. They spent a lot of time before the clip we're about to play talking about how Romney's only for the rich, and if there are tax cuts across the board, he's sure that the rich will get the larger share of those. And then the topic turns to Libya and what this guy thinks about the murder of Chris Stevens a couple weeks ago.
Libya? I don't pay much attention to
war. Did you see our ambassador got assassinated in Libya? And
yeah, we probably had it coming.
Serious?
Yeah.
Why would we? Would he have come?
Because we're stepping across bounds that we probably should.
Pretty hard to defend the Obama administration, and that's pretty much where some of his less thinking folks are right now.
Where to begin? I guess I'll begin with the sweet melodious tone of the first woman. So persuasive, rah, 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 you know. It's worth noting that what she's referring to as an Obama phone is not something that was created by President Obama. It is a program designed to help out the poor by providing them cell phones. And it was actually run by telecommunications companies, facilitated by legislation from 2008. We haven't gone back and checked if Obama voted for it. It's just the people doing this have decided to call them Obama phones for marketing and purposes. And so the perception is that Obama gave you a cell phone. I'm going to quote the Morning Jolt again, Greg. I can't help but notice, you know, remember a voter who thought that Obama was going to pay her mortgage and pay her gas?
Sure.
Back in 2008?
Sure.
Well, now he got us a phone. So if you thought this president hadn't been downgraded enough, you know, even the bribery of the dependent 47% is less than it was. Now, here's the thing. You know, Obama can say, look, I have nothing to do with this, you know, woman who thinks she's, you know, gotten a phone from me. But I think it does say something about, you know, there are people out there who believe that, one, it's the government's job to give them cell phones. Two, I think a lot of Americans would kind of hey, wait a minute, why are we give people food stamps so they can feed themselves, give people rent assistance, you know, make sure that people don't end up thrown out on the street. We don't want people to die, so we'll give them emergency medical care. But look, you have to do stuff to take care of yourself in life. And a cell phone, how on God's green earth is this something the government should just be providing for you? Particularly when so many people feel squeezed, you know, that the idea that other folks are going to get, you know, this entire notion of the government's job is just give us stuff. What Romney may have referred to, that 47%, this woman seems like the poster girl for. And then for this other guy, who's just this incoherent guy, there's a woman on Twitter by the name of Alexa Shrugged, and Alexa just had this stuttering, stammering, incoherent response to a person who thought that our ambassador out there probably had it coming to be murdered, stripped naked, dragged through the streets, et cetera, et cetera. Lovely note to close the week out on, Greg. It's just good I don't see people expressing that view in front of me, because I just don't know how well I'd be able to control my temper around people like that. People so ignorant, so obnoxious, so callous, really just heartless. The idea that, you know, Stevens has got it coming because we're meddling, what, by having a consulate? By existing? You know, it's a very outrageous trio of martinis today, Greg. It's not really a cheery martinis.
And the sad part is that their votes count just as much as ours. So
yeah. We just have to hope they forget that they just seem so poorly coordinated that they just vote on November 7th.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Democrats, so make sure that you vote on November 7th.
Jim, you vote Wednesday, we vote Tuesday.
That's right. The turnout is expected to be so high that we need to separate it into two different days. Republicans just happened to go first this year. Jim, again, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
See you Tuesday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.